Hi, and welcome to Queers and Soaps. I'm Eric, and joined by Karen, we're filling in with some more Swan's Crossing, episodes 36 to 40. Tommy, roll those credits. This show. And I feel like nothing happened this week. two things happened.
I feel like when we figured out that they were doing everything to have like that big conclusion on Friday, that they immediately stopped doing it. Like the storyline started with Sydney and Garrett with the whole birth certificate switch thing. And then they stopped doing the format that we liked.
Right.
So now we're stuck in this storyline that it doesn't seem to be going anywhere this week.
No. All right. So episode 36, we have Callie and her dad talking. He wants to leave Swans only for the week. He's acting like he wants to leave forever because he misses the ocean and all that stuff. He goes on and on about it. But he's like, oh, just a week. The Glory, JT, and Neil are singing the Countess's song. What was it again? I forget.
The
Nudibonk.
Yeah.
They're like, Nudibonk, Nudibonk.
I actually really enjoyed them singing the song and laughing.
Me too. It was funny.
It was so normal.
Very normal.
Yeah.
You can tell this is written by like older people because just the things that they refer to are from like the 50s and 60s, and it's just funny. Like a lot of this stuff. We have the spy lurking around basically all week long.
Right. He's
basically stalking Glory. Because of these poems that Neil gave, whatever.
How do they know it's the poetry book that they need? How do they know?
I know. I thought I missed something. I'm like, I don't know. They must have hacked something. I don't know. We don't know exactly how they know, but they know for some reason that Glory is the key to these poems. Yeah, it's weird. Sydney says she's ready to negotiate with Garrett. Owen brings Mila home. I guess I don't know where they were. I don't remember where they were. I guess they were at the studio.
No, they were all at the Nudibonk party. Like this is
The Nudibonk party, right.
Okay, so again, this is my huge problem with this show is that time is not constant. And it seems like this party, which was at night, apparently was in late afternoon because this show and almost this entire week is like 2 days.
Yeah.
But it seems like the kids are still doing things up until like 4 o'clock in the morning because they're constantly I don't know what time it is.
Constantly, I know. So I have Owen brings Mila home and I guess she was about to sing and I put Saved by the Ring because she didn't get to sing. Billy calls, which I looked up Billy. I forget his name because I didn't write it. I'm like, I didn't care enough. But he still acts currently. It's kind of funny. And he is from, I think, Baltimore. Which we knew he was not a real Brit.
Because one of the things I thought that they would bring up and they didn't, and I think if the actor was actually a British person, he would have, is the time difference. Like they're 5 hours ahead. Again, remember, time does not exist in the Swan's Crossing universe. Mm-mm. But like, if he was calling them after this party, supposedly say the party ends at 10 and he's calling, they're 5 hours ahead. He's calling at like 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever by the time he calls them.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't actually make any sense. Like it does make a lot more sense that he's from here and he just doesn't care. But like somebody didn't think, like, I guess because it's a kid's show, nobody's paying attention to the details. But for me, so distracting never knowing what time it is.
Right. So so they talk on the phone or whatever about nothing really. Like, I like you, I like you. And then Millie goes to hand the phone over to Owen and he hangs up. I guess he could care less about Owen.
Well, I think the only important part in this scene is that Owen's in love with Mila, and Mila definitely calls him her friend and trashes his tiny little heart.
The friend zones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he hasn't made a move, so if anyone friend zoned him, it's himself.
So we basically find out in this episode that Garrett loves to make lists of things.
God, stop counting, Garrett.
So it started with like him and Sydney making that list against Mila. What are we gonna do? What are they? Whatever. And now it's like he brings up points to Sydney of lists of all of, like, the mistakes. No negotiations. He basically wants her to surrender. He has like this list of nonsense of what she has done in the past, you know, to get to this point.
Yeah. And he starts with how she basically broke his heart by not, you know, saying that she loved him after the game, which she did say she was going to do. And then he just keeps going on and on.
On and on.
By the time he gets to point eight, I'm like, Garrett, oh my God, just tell her you love her and let this go.
I know. Seriously, it's so annoying. The spy dude's following Lori still. We see that he uses a payphone, which is a swan.
I was going to bring that up because it's a ridiculous looking phone.
Yeah, it really is. But it's cool. Kind of cool, actually.
Yeah,
I wish we had swan payphones around. I probably would have used them more.
I think it would be so much more interesting if we stopped making everything utilitarian and then some things were just swans for no reason, like in Swan's Rock.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Glory goes to Callie's. She's all excited to be there, seeing this submarine.
And the captain calls her stupid like 3 times.
Mm-hmm. The little redheaded one likes to talk, doesn't she?
Isn't she simple?
Poor Glory.
I know, that was mean.
It really was.
I didn't understand it. Why was he so mean to Glory?
Right, and she said that, like, his dad would help support his cause. So I'm like, that's even, like, nice, you know, like...
Do you wonder if he has something against the boots, and it's not about Glory, it's about...
Oh, I'm sure he does. Everybody seems to. Because he does bring up, like, the past and a little bit of how they used to be friends and stuff. We have Mila trying to get a hold of Sydney. She can't seem to get a hold of her because Sydney's, like... You know, getting threatened by Garrett right now.
In this dramatic moment of them where they should have just kissed.
Yeah, Garrett says he wants to keep the secret between them. And he wants Mila to be his girlfriend. He wants Sydney to convince her to be his girlfriend.
Meanwhile, they're getting closer and closer and closer. And they're both basically admitting that they still have feelings for one another.
Yeah.
And then he dive bombs into wanting to do this, which actually crushes Sydney. I felt really bad for her in that moment.
Oh, for sure.
You know, all
multiple ways,
right? Yeah,
multiple ways. Yeah,
she's just crushed. And every time it gets to Mila, it's just like Mila's walking through the world completely oblivious to whose feelings she's hurting, who's hurting her feelings. Like, she doesn't know, because like she hurt Owen's feelings with no. Like, she had no idea. She was completely
she's oblivious.
Unaware. Yes, it's weird.
So I missed something, or I feel like I missed something. So the captain was leaving the boat, I guess, and he smelled something from the spy dude, or did he see something? It looked like he smelled something weird.
I wasn't sure what that was. I think he may have seen something, because we're on this kick now where apparently after that one time that there was loud noise, all of the bad guys are wearing cotton balls in their ears.
Right. So everybody's finding cotton balls.
So they're finding cotton balls everywhere. And like Callie decides she doesn't want to go. So she's going to stay with Glory. And she's going to stay with the boots.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's like, are you sure you want to do that? It's a week. Like, why is this so dramatic, Captain? What's happening with you this week?
Right.
He was intense for no reason whatsoever. It was just weird. He was very Sydney, weird. He was very angry in the beginning of the episode, too, when he said he had to go to sea. He's just like, it's time. I must go.
Right. But Sydney gets an overhead. Garrett takes the call for the phone or whatever, and it's Mila, and she finally gets through to Sydney, and that's basically the end of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, like, kind of hangs on Sydney's sad face as I don't want to call Mila dumb.
Sad, scared face.
She's dumb, but she is oblivious. And she's just like, Sydney, what's up? What's happening? And it's just like, oh my God, girl, buy a vowel.
Right. Episode 37, Callie goes to stay with Glory. She talks about her stuffed animals from JT. Glory's all excited to have her there. We didn't see Nancy in any of these episodes.
No, we did have a mention of her at one point.
Yeah.
They hit a horse. They hit a whole horse.
So we see, like, Sydney's trying to avoid talking to Mila because she doesn't want to. Yeah, like, that's the thing. I guess she doesn't want to do it to her either. Like, I feel like because Mila's excited about this guy and.
Yeah, and I actually think, like, when Mila says to her on the phone, she's like, you're a real friend. Like, I think that hurts Sydney because she doesn't want to do this. She loves Garrett. She knows Mila has this thing for Billy Gunn. And this is, like, a whole terrible situation that she's in.
Yeah. And
it's kind of sad in a way because, like, until this moment, really, Sydney never feels empathy for anyone. And, like, this is her first, like, friend that she cares about, not like Sandy or Glory, who she just uses to do her bidding.
Right.
Or Nancy, who is just like her co-bitch. But like this situation is like, I actually like this girl and I wanted to help her with her new love interest because he's cool and it's fun, and Garrett spoiled it.
Well, I don't even know. I didn't think it was that. I just thought it was Sydney trying to avoid the secret coming out about her parentage situation, which isn't true.
She wouldn't have fought so hard against the situation if she didn't care about either Garrett being in love with her or Mila and her setup. Because if Garrett was like, help me get this girl that you don't care about to fall in love with me, then Sydney would be like, yeah, sure, who cares? Like, she doesn't want to do it on any level.
Right.
Maybe I'm giving Sydney too much credit. Maybe I am. But I just kind of feel like she's frenemies with Mila. Sometimes she really likes Mila, and sometimes she...
They seem to have a good time. Yeah, they do seem to have a good time together.
I think the only time she starts to get kind of salty towards Mila is in reference to Garrett, or when Nancy's there to stir up trouble.
Yeah. So we have this spy is running around, and Bobby chases the spy? Or the spy chasing Bobby? Oh, I'm not positive.
So Sasha is dressed as a ninja, like completely in the full ninja getup, and he surprises the spy on the docks that was outside of the submarine because he was trying to find Callie. So then the spy, I don't know, it feels like the spy chases him, but he's also chasing the spy. So it feels very Scooby-Doo.
It's very Scooby-Doo. Yeah, it's like there's a bunch of running around and it's weird. Yeah, it's, I didn't know what was happening. I'm like, what's happening here? I need a drink.
He was running and he ran all the way to the bike shop or the mechanic shop or whatever. I don't know. I forget what we're calling that place. And
the Tool and Die.
Thank you.
Wentworth Tool and Die.
Whatever. I don't care about those people or that storyline. And they get, like, he gets there.
I don't get the storyline.
No. And then he startles Beric. Like, and Beric does overreact, but not too much because, I mean, it was a ninja that broke into his work. So that's, like, startling. Well, when does that happen?
Yeah, it's weird.
And he does live in a town of, like, really weird kids who do really weird stuff all the time. So
seriously,
he's prepared for it.
I don't even know what's going on in this episode.
I don't know. It's confusing.
Callie and Glory are together. They seem to be bonding. Callie feels at home in Swan, so she doesn't want to leave, apparently. And then when Glory pulls the thing, she knows Fabian, too, which is why I'm like, this is so 50s. Like, nobody knows. These people shouldn't know Fabian.
Not in the 90s. I would say if it was in the early 80s, maybe, because we used
maybe
rerun stuff, but like I know a lot of stuff and I wouldn't recognize Fabian from one picture. Like, that's old.
When I learned who Fabian was, it was through Laverne and Shirley. And yeah. I honestly didn't know he was like real. Like, I didn't know, like, when I remember seeing the episode, I was like, oh, this is, you know, you don't think like this is a real person from the 50s.
No, you know, a made up character that was.
But later on in life, you're like, oh, that was the thing. He was a, you know, a teen idol back in the 50s. So Mila wants Sydney to come over to help with her plan, with their plan. Sydney tells Garrett that the plan will never work what he wants because Mila hates him.
There's something that happens in that scene because I wrote in my notes that Garrett flinched, and I think it was when she kind of poked at him about them still having feelings for one another, and he kind of reacted to that. And then she was like, the plan will never work, and he went back to normal. But it was like a moment where he was like a little human.
He gave you a little bit of humanity.
Yeah, he gave me a little human moment.
He says the sooner he gets with Mila, the better it will be for you.
Right.
You mentioned Bobby spying on Barry.
Yeah, also Sydney walks right past the ball guy, and they just look at each other like they both think the other one is weird and keep moving.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
I made note, my next note is Glory has lemonade parties.
So, I have to tell you that I hate the idea of cookies and lemonade, like all that sugar and all that acid.
As a child, I would have loved it. Nowadays, I'm like, oh, I need my Tums.
Yeah, and they find a cotton ball. But like, yeah, she apparently threw tea parties that turned into lemonade parties that she still throws to this day.
Probably for her stuffed animal.
See, Glory is such a cute character. Like, she's like, baking. She and gardening and learning about what my boyfriend likes. Like, she's just adorable in like kind of a very innocent way.
And how did, so Bobby ends up falling into the room? What is happening? Did he climb up something? And
I think he crashed through the trellis.
I think he
was climbing because he was outside the garden, and I think he crashed through part of the trellis because Garrett later goes, who the hell did that? So he must have broke something on his way in. And then he knocked over the lemonade and the cookies, so everything was ruined. And then he's just like, I need to speak to Callie privately. I don't know. He said, for all the love of something, something. And I was just like, ugh, Bobby. And I started tuning it out.
Yeah, I know. I tend to tune him out. I don't know what he's saying. Sydney gets to Mila's, and she's like, I was stuck in your elevator for 10 minutes. Nothing's going right for poor Sid.
Also, it was because Owen kept pushing the buttons, so she chucks Owen into the she chucks him into the elevator, and she's like, goodbye, and she just pushes the button and gets rid of him. I was like, so funny.
I wish I could see this house like fully. I would love it, like a tour. Mila fills Sydney in on Billy's phone call. Billy's coming, wants to meet up with him without her mom finding out. Bobby's talking about Mamba Jamba. That's all I put from that. That's all I got out of that.
The only thing I remember, Mumbo Jumbo is his favorite thing. But he did say his one Mumbo Jumbo line that I liked was, one who leads two lives cannot be trusted, in reference to Derek. And he believes Callie, whereas Jimmy doesn't. So like they have this heart to heart because he feels like, because he startled Beric and because Beric super overreacted, that he has now proved that Callie's point is correct. So now they're like team against Beric.
I like Callie in these episodes.
I also like Callie and Bobby together more than I like Callie anywhere near Jimmy.
I don't like her and Bob. I don't like Bobby at all. So
no, not he can beat it. Not romantically. I think they're good friends. They have good friend chemistry.
Right. So, and Callie says to him, use regular English, but I like that too. And then, I do have that he caught Beric doing something, but we don't know what Beric was doing, right?
No. We don't know anything. He was sitting at the table working on something, like with a magazine. So I think they've moved from the ice cream to magazine clues, because he then has a magazine in his hand later on. But Jimmy was also at the shop, so...
So the spy calls the other spy, says there is a new agent here. We will get to the girl before he does.
Right.
So do we know that agent? Is it Beric? Is that who we think is Beric? I'm confused.
I think it's Beric. I think that
We think it's Beric.
I think Beric is the American agent. I think that he...
That makes sense.
He has to be, because he doesn't make any sense. Remember earlier, every time he meets somebody, he changes his personality to that person. Like, because he's like, he meets the captain and he's all invested in Nudibox. Nobody's invested in cool purple snails. Like, they don't even know about them. It's like ocean bug. Why would anyone know about that mollusk? I'm sorry. And then when he talks to like Jimmy, he kind of oh, I'm really into baseball. And then he talks to somebody else and he's really into whatever they are. So he's like a chameleon, but he doesn't do that with Callie, because Callie has like a really good bullshit detector. And she's just like, everything you're saying is nonsense and you're up to something. And he's like, oh yeah, so I'm up to something with my ice cream and my magazines. And I'm just like, first off, you're 30. Stop flirting with a 12-year-old. I think he's a spy. If he's not a spy, he's annoying for no reason.
So we get to episode 38. Callie wants the story from Bobby again. So we get a recap on the weird chase and all that stuff,
which was very fun and very strange.
So weird. Garrett pops up. He's not happy that Callie's staying with them.
Why would he be?
I didn't think he had anything against her, but I guess
I think he was just annoyed that he came home while he's in the middle of all his plans.
And yeah,
part of the porch is broken. There's glass everywhere. Bobby was there and he's like, ugh, why is that guy there? And like Callie's there and he's like, what are you doing here? Because I don't think he liked these people around Glory, because he hates JT.
Right.
He's always like, none of these people are good enough for my little sister.
Sydney and Mila are talking about what they can do, like, for her to see Billy when he comes to town. Sydney's like, you know, just first they come up with like an idea of like meeting in secret. She's like, I never heard anything from my mom, but I gotta grow up sometime. Wink, wink.
Yeah. She even said like in the song, and I was like, please don't quote the song.
Like the song says. I have JT and Neil talk, and he says he's gonna play post office, which I didn't get.
Because he wanted to take his poem to Glory. Like, he wrote a new poem, and Neil was kind of frustrated with him about that because Neil has no other life but science. I don't know. It was confusing. They were talking about the heat sink again because they are trying to create a heat shield, and JT was like, we should probably get food instead. And they were dressed in their baseball uniforms, which led us to believe that they might play baseball, but that didn't happen. I wasn't sure why they were in it.
Callie finds another cotton ball, because it happens in, like, every episode. Bobby wants to find Barrick. Garrett goes to Glory, hears a noise, sees someone climbing up. Garrett pretends to be Glory as JT climbs up, because it's JT, like, climbing to read his poem to Glory, which was kind of funny.
Favorite poem so far.
Well, if you got it, I didn't write the poem down.
I didn't write it down. They're gonna say it like 14 more times if you need it.
Right.
I didn't think it was that bad. Like, it was like a rock. Like, it was sweet.
It was cute. I liked it too. Actually,
science and love, and I thought it was really cute. And he was so proud of himself. And it was all written on a blue napkin, which was hilarious.
And I think this is the episode we find out that Glory is a solid sleeper. Like, nothing can wake this girl.
So he's in her room with them,
and he's at the window, and she's just, like, dead asleep.
He even comes in, he's like, are you awake? And he comes over to the bed, and he gets really close to her face, and he gets away, and he starts laughing. And then, of course, he sees movement out the window, and we think it's going to be one of those weird guys.
Yeah, the weird dudes.
And here it's JT reading a poem, and he's just literally, like, making kissy faces at JT and being a horrible
person, as usual. After JT reads the poem, he opens the window, and he goes...
Yeah, it was very funny. I laughed a lot. It was good.
Sid says to meet Billy in the open, like, just disguise yourself.
She also goes, I've bitten all my nails. When did I become a girl who bites her nails? It's like, she's so stressed.
Yeah, really. Callie falls into Jimmy. I forget that situation. Bobby, Jimmy, and Callie talk about...
Well, they kind of break in Barrett. Cool and Die, and Jimmy is there, so he startles them. And then their conversation is Jimmy defending Barrick for no reason, Callie and Bobby trying to explain to him what's going on, and Jimmy going, I can't believe you got my friend mixed up in your stupid crap. And then they fight a lot. It's like dumb.
Yeah. And he apparently Barrick was building another part for the stage, is what Jimmy says.
Yeah, he was working on the revolving stage thing.
We have Garrett given another list of what he can do to JT. I'm like, dude, what is this rich boy? He's seriously.
It's like yesterday he learned to count to 10, and now he has to use it.
There's another cotton ball, apparently. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then we have the dude that is in Glory's room at the end of that episode.
Yep.
This spy dude, this is cracking me up. I gotta look him up.
They are like the most conspicuous spies that could ever spy. And they keep saying things that I believe are nonsense words. That one guy is supposed to kind of sound German and the other one kind of sounds Russian. But you know none of these are real words.
Right.
Like, what is that about? Just learn some Russian. It can't be that hard to be like "privet" instead of like rambling, like crazy word.
Right. So episode 39 starts with the spy dude in Glory's room snooping around. Neil and JT talk. Neil has a flashback about the poem book that he gave Glory, because that's, you know, what's currently happening. Why the spy is in Glory's room. Callie and Bobby are together. She explains the Achilles heel to him.
That she's still afraid of the dark.
Still afraid of the dark and still finding cotton balls. Sydney and Mila are swimming. They talk about disguising herself to meet up with Billy. Garrett pops up and tells Sydney to do better.
So the fun part about that is Garrett is in basically a changing house, which is just like a tent. And he's behind Sydney. So he's like pinching her and grabbing
her. Yeah, grabbing her foot, grabbing her arm, and like holding her there so she can't move.
Yeah, that works out great for him by the end.
Garrett's getting on my nerves, man. I guess I don't like when people are trapped in situations like this. So it bothers me.
I don't like it because I really don't see the point of it. Like, he doesn't even really want Mila. Like, he clearly is doing this to hold on to Sydney. Sydney. Like, so like, right. So he's like manipulating her and controlling her to keep, I don't know, whatever contact he wants with her. And he could have gotten the same reaction by just saying, "I'm still in love with you, but you hurt my feelings. So make it up to me." He could have gotten the same reaction.
Right.
You know, a much healthier situation, but I realize it's a teen drama. So
I guess with finding the cotton balls, Callie questions Glory if someone was there, and she's like, "I sleep pretty solid. I have no idea," or whatever.
She also brings Callie breakfast in bed, and Callie is really strangely—I don't know if she's like cosplaying as a normal human being, but she wants to know what Callie's day is like and everything that Callie Glory does. I mean, sorry, everything that Glory—well, Callie wants to know everything that Glory does.
What Glory does, yeah.
And she wants to shadow her as she does Glory things. And it's just bizarre.
I guess because she's suspicious of what's going on with all these cotton balls. And I think maybe she's on to something's happening to Glory at this point. So she's like, "Yeah, let me follow you around to see if like maybe there's anything suspicious that people would be interested in you for," you know.
But she could also
she's a smart girl, like you said.
Yeah, she is a smart girl, but she could have, again, affected the same thing by just saying, "Hey, let's hang out all day. I'm here, staying at your house. We may as well do things together. Let's go get breakfast."
It was cute, though. I liked them hanging out.
It was cute, but also strange.
Well, look what we're watching.
I know, but when she puts the shirt on that looks like Callie's dress, Glory and Callie try to like wear outfits that are similar. I was like, that's too far. A bridge too far.
Glory did mention the poem book to Callie. So I guess it's only a matter of time.
She pulled it out from underneath her pillow, which is the only place that creep didn't search.
Yeah. JT sends Bobby with what was it? The napkin, which was the poem that he wrote?
Yeah.
Or was it the one? Yeah.
The poem, because he couldn't get to Glory because of stupid Garrett. So
Bobby says he's going to go over there at some point or whatever.
Because they find out that the captain is gone and Callie is staying with Glory. So he says, as long as you're going to see Callie, you may as well take this to Glory.
Yeah.
Bobby takes the napkin with him.
Garrett continues taunting Sydney. Mila says that Billy called. Garrett holds Sydney in her seat because I guess she tried to get up and go elsewhere so she can talk in private because she knows he's there.
Mm-hmm.
She says, how about we disguise you as a pop star? Garrett messes with Sydney to make her talk about him. And Mila says that Garrett's a real jerk.
Yeah.
She's like, you must be crazy, girl. What's going on with you?
Yep.
Glory is loving the attention that Callie is giving her. They go to see Mr. Han, I guess, for books. I don't know why they go there.
Mr. Han is the librarian. Now, remember that Glory is trying to learn science so that she can talk to JT about things he likes.
Right.
She's showing an interest in his interests, and it does pay off a little bit when she sees JT later. But the funny thing is, when she said that the napkin was a secret, Mr. Han peered over her shoulder to read it and smirked, because remember, him and the butler like to know everything that's happening in town and then not help anyone.
Yeah.
I also love Mr. Han. He's very fun.
Yeah, he is. Where was that? The girls are still hanging at the pool. They talk about Walker's estate. Does that mean anything?
Oh, yeah. So Callie and the captain, they have a house in town that the captain had when he was married to Callie's mother, but he boarded it up when he left in his submarine.
And oh, that's the one they went to look at like a long time ago when Callie was first coming to town, right?
Right. And they didn't really look at it because the captain said he didn't want to bother with it. So Callie has not been to her family estate. I think we're maybe leading up to her moving into a house. Because it seems like she's not exactly thrilled with the submarine life any longer. And her father seems like he wants to just leave.
And there's like a rubber nudibranch thing on the table, which was funny.
It kind of like melted into like a blob of purple. So that was fun.
Yeah. And then it basically ends with like the cam panning to everyone's face.
I was calling this the secrets camera because it seemed like everybody had secrets and they were panning to each character reacting to the fact that they had a secret, and it was very funny.
And then they end with the spy with an angry face, and then like the credits roll with his angry face, and it was pretty funny. I like that.
Oh, can we comment just on one thing? Is like JT says to Neil that like women always have secrets because Callie leaves to go to the library. And he keeps pressing on Neil that you and I don't have any secrets. We never have any secrets. We're the best of best friends. And he calls him Bucky Ball or whatever they call each other.
Right.
Then they like frame Neil's face and it shows that he definitely is hiding something. Like he was like,
oh, yeah. Neil's a mess, dude.
Yeah, Neil is a mess.
Maybe he's the spy.
I don't think he's the spy. Like I spy. Think he's hidden the formula or whatever for UB2B in that poetry book. I think he's the one that did it because it was really weird.
Oh, for sure.
It was really weird and out of character when he gave it to Glory because he was being comforting to a girl. And that was in the time when he was being extremely anti-girl.
Mean to her. Right, yeah, right.
Mean. So, like, for him to just turn around and be comforting and give a book of poems and all that, it was way too calculated. A move.
Suspicious.
Yeah, it was sus.
Sus. Episode 40. Callie says her bathroom, who was it? Glory's bathroom makes her look like a teacup because she lives in the suffering.
Yeah, and Glory's like, but my bathroom's the smallest, implying that everyone has their own bathroom in that house.
Right. Yeah, right. I would have loved my own bathroom when I was little.
Yeah.
And then Glory wants to hang with Callie all day and get to know her.
Again.
More, yeah. And then she has Callie has a flashback about Jimmy for some reason.
Oh, because they talk about fishing. And Glory's like, oh, fishing, you know, like she's not interested in baiting hooks with worms and stuff like that. And Callie's like, it's not all that. And they flash to like 5 minutes of that boring scene of them looking at clouds from the previous week.
Right, right. Which is, I'm like, that doesn't have to do with fishing though, but.
But immediately after that, we get the amazing split screen conversation with Sid.
Sydney and Mila are on the phone. Garrett calls and then she's like flipping back and forth to them because he's telling her one thing, she's saying another about Billy. She's
saying, please hold, please hold.
And then you just let, and you just see the grief on Sydney's face. Like, yeah. Fuck, my life.
She has had it. She does not know what to do. It is hilarious.
Spy is eating pancakes at Swan's
with a machete. He's cutting the pancakes with a machete. Yeah. Why?
Oh, why not?
Is there no fork and knife at table?
Well, Jazz isn't doing her job as always.
Jazz never does her job. Where's she even there in this episode? No one else works there.
Callie and Glory pass the spies on the way into Swan's. And Beric is there. He pops up
with his magazine. See, he's got a magazine again.
Neil and JT get to Swan's. Glory mentions his poems. Her favorite is the napkin one. Neil is kind of rushing him out.
Also, JT comes in there to order a second breakfast, like, because he said he already had breakfast. And Neil is like, right. He's like, you can't be eating again. And he's like, I need more food. And he tries to order food and he never gets his food.
Yeah,
he just doesn't get his, nobody gets their food in this scene.
Only the Russian spy or the whatever spy. Spies,
and they attack it with machetes.
Sydney calls Billy to arrange the meeting between her, Mila, and Billy. She's pretending to be the secretary, which I think they agreed to anyway. And he basically just gives his list to her of what he needs when he gets
it's
there.
Insane. Remember in
he's a diva. He's a diva.
Remember in Wayne's World 2 when that guy was talking about what Ozzy Osbourne wanted and he only wanted brown M&Ms? Like, it was like that. It's like one of those insane, insane rider lists. It was crazy. He's like, I want a little one, but a white one and a stretched one. I don't like those little ones. And I was like, who is this dude?
All right. Callie and Glory go to Tool and Die. I don't know if she was going to work or just go there to visit. I forget what her plan was because she was off that day, so...
I think she just wanted to
show Glory,
around. They're trying to become friends. They're trying to friend.
And they're followed there. Jimmy's there being a douche. He's been super annoying.
Because he likes Beric, and he can't stand that she doesn't like Beric. So instead of like listening to her, he's dismissing all of her fears and telling her she's being basically a hysterical woman. And then he gets mad because he's like, I don't want Bobby involved. And it upsets Glory so much because they start shouting at each other because that's what they do. That she dips. She goes outside. She just goes outside.
Yeah, Glory is like raving about it, Callie, because she like is getting to know her and she's really liking her. She's like a sister to her, kind of, it seems like, in these two episodes. And he just puts Callie down basically the whole time.
Yeah, horrible.
And he wants Glory to go. Callie says, no, stay. So they're, like, fighting over her. Sydney's hanging her mama's signs. I guess we're getting to this election soon.
And Garrett is also hanging his father's sign.
Sandy comes along. First Sandy sighting in 5 episodes.
I know, right? No Nancy. Just one
Sandy. Yeah, one Sandy. Sandy.
No Nancy.
She comes along with her laundry. Were they at a... laundromat?
I guess the washing machine and the dryer at Sandy's house was broken again, she said. So she said she was helping her mother by taking, and remember, there's a ton of Swans, like there's like 11 of them. So she said she was helping her mother by doing the laundry. So she was walking that massive bag of laundry to the laundromat. And then Garrett kind of bullies Sydney into helping her.
Which is,
like, kind of terrible, because who wants to do that?
Yeah, so, yeah. And then Garrett covers, like, when they walk away, Garrett puts his dad over her mom's poster.
And he makes some reference to Sydney and calls her a puppet.
Yeah.
He's really turning up the nastiness this week.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
Callie and Jimmy are continuing arguing. We have that someone is lurking. And Beric is around, but he doesn't really do anything.
He never does.
So I guess, I don't know. I'll tell you what I think in a minute. Callie gets fed up. Glory ends up leaving. Callie and Jimmy both like seem to be trashing the place.
They're throwing things at each other like they're two.
I don't think they're not throwing them at each other. They're throwing them on the floor. They're just like they're literally just throwing shit on the floor. They weren't throwing them at each other. Because I was like,
I hate them. Anytime they're in a scene together, it's like if they were adults, they would be having hate sex all the time. Children. And I'm like, I hate sex. I hate this. I'm so angry that I love you situation. It's so toxic. I cannot stand it. I would definitely have dipped outside like Glory did.
And while outside, Glory ends up getting kidnapped.
Yeah.
Now, if Beric is around, do you think he's going to save her? Like, do you think he knows?
No.
Like, she's...
No, this is a kid's show. The kids will save her.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is the thing because.
But that was a good cliffhanger for the Friday episode.
I thought was a great cliffhanger, but really that's the only part of this week that happened. Everything else was just kind of like building on the same stuff that happened the week before. Two things I want to touch on. It paid off for Glory to read those books on physics because she had a very cute flirting interaction with JT when they were trying to get the pancakes.
And that
situation was adorable because, like, he was being very loving towards her. They were having, like, a really cute moment. Obviously, Neil ruins it because he can't enjoy happiness. Yeah. And also, Beric's behavior at the diner. I'm telling you, the magazines are now how he's getting his messages because she noticed the ice cream. He had to pivot. He also, which could be a message, ordered a sandwich to go and then didn't take it and left it there. So it seems like he's leaving coded messages because it doesn't make any sense that he would like Callie even called. She's like, why did you order a sandwich? You're not going to eat it. And he's like, I like to travel light. And then he leaves. And I'm just like, this character's so irritating in that I don't know. If he is a spy, he's bad at it. If he's not, if he's not a spy, he's a creepy boss who I don't like flirting with children.
He's definitely a spy.
I think he's a spy.
So I don't understand why they didn't kidnap Glory earlier because I feel like they have 25 chances to do so. So maybe do you think they were just like looking around first because they didn't want to kidnap her or because they were going through her room and they could have taken her then when she was a solid sleeper. But
I feel like they hadn't decided to kidnap her yet because the easiest thing to do was break into her room and find what they were looking for. When they couldn't find what they were looking for, they realized they needed her to tell them where what they were looking for was, i.e. the book of poems. So I think that's why they flipped their plan because they were discussing it at the table, but it was like such a weird, random conversation. It didn't make much sense. And then again, they keep saying words like the bald one who was chasing Saja. He keeps saying words that sound similar to German. And then the other one who got the hot cocoa with the whipped cream on top was saying things that sounded like they should be Russian, but were fake words. And the cotton ball thing is just ridiculous. Like
it is. It's so
literally
stupid.
You heard loud music for 1 minute and now your eardrums are damaged forever. It was just rock music. It wasn't like acid.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be having any issues hearing each other, which would have been the damage that would cause. So why the I guess the cotton balls are a device to show where they've been and to like lead
breadcrumbs.
So I think what's going to happen is we're going to probably form a rescue party and Garrett's always involved. So I'm going to assume it's Garrett, Callie and Bobby. And also Bobby said something about a new persona was on the horizon. And I think he just got interested in Greek mythology after the Achilles story, so I'm a little worried he's going to show up in a toga.
I wouldn't be surprised. So the one thing I will say about this show is it is unpredictable, because I have no idea where it's going every week. No clue. Like you said, the formula changed for us a little bit, because we were like, big event Friday, big event Friday, and then they stopped the 1 week, and then they had a big event the next Friday.
Yeah. So this is a big event. Like, having, like, not a really big event. Like, we had the New to Bank party. That was kind of a big event, but not really. And then we have the kidnapping as a substitute for the big event. So we don't have a party. We don't have a sleepover. We have a kidnapping. But the thing is, nobody knows about the kidnapping yet, because it just kind of happened, and then so that was actually like a cliffhanger for us for once. So I wonder if that's going to be the new methodology.
And we still have 25 episodes left.
Anything I know, and I feel like this show is very experimental in it, like its format. A lot of the time, we do get POV cams, we get different style endings, we start to figure out what's happening, and then they pivot. So it's like. I wonder if they knew what they were doing, or if they were experimenting to figure out what works.
Right.
No, I mean, I like a lot of it. Obviously, I'm invested in the JT Glory relationship, and I'm actually invested in the Garrett Sydney relationship, even though I think it's toxic.
It's very toxic.
I kind of
and it can end up. He can end up in juvenile hall for sure.
Right.
For like messing with medical records, it's like fraud. This is like that's gonna be the last episode. He has to go to juvenile.
Yeah, he goes to prison. He's like, he's committing like real crimes.
But yeah, meanwhile, for sure.
Like Owen and Sandy don't really have anything happening. Like Sandy's jealous of Mila. Sandy's jealous of Sydney. Sandy's jealous of everyone else who exists, but she doesn't actually do anything about it. Her dyeing her hair was at least an attempt of her to do anything. And it shows because she's barely on.
Right.
And Owen's barely on. And like, we're focusing on these other characters. So I don't know, like soaps do tend to rotate characters in and out.
Right.
Nancy just got bumped.
She's totally bumped. Sidelined.
She's one of the better actresses on the show, and it's a shame that she doesn't get as much airtime as the other girls, or a backstory, or a last name.
Right.
Are you Nancy? Maybe she's a spy.
I doubt it. But, all right, well, we'll wrap up this episode. We'll bring you more Swans in a couple weeks. Thanks for joining us today at Queers and Soaps. It was fun. Interesting. Subscribe, like, and comment. We would love comments because we want to know what you thought of this crazy-ass show back in 1992. I could see probably as a kid I probably would have loved it, but maybe.
I don't know. Maybe I would have. I think I could have gotten into the science storyline and the spies. I think I would have gotten into it.
Right. Well, have a good one, everyone. Bye.